This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wal Aqibatu Lil Muttaqeen. Salatu wassalamu ala Rasulil Kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. عن أبي محمد الحسن بن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله عنهما قال حفظت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك فإن الصدق طمأنينة والكذب ريبة رواه الترمذي وقال حديث صحيح. Last week we started the chapter of الصدق, truthfulness. And we went through some of the verses that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah has quoted under this chapter. And we also went through a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in today's lesson, we continue with the same chapter, with the second hadith that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah has quoted in this chapter. The hadith is narrated by سيدنا حسن بن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنهما, who says, حفظت من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. I have memorized, I have learned from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم his advice and his statement, دع ما يريبك إلى ما لا يريبك. Leave what is doubtful to you to what is not doubtful. Meaning, if you have two options and one is doubtful, the other one is not doubtful, leave the doubtful and take the one that has no doubt in it. فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ طُمَأْنِينَ, because truthfulness is the peace of mind. وَالْكَذِبَ رِيبَ, and falsehood is a doubt. The narrator of this hadith is Sayyiduna Hassan bin Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma. And he narrates this hadith. He is the son of Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was only 80 years old when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away. And this is what he's narrating, that this is something that I learned from my grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And one thing that we learn from this particular narration is that truthfulness is something that the parents need to instill in the hearts and the minds of their children, right from the very young age, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did to Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He learned and he narrated this way. He said, حَفِظْتُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّمْ. And this is unusual way of narrating a hadith or narrating a statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because rest of the companions, usually they say, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying this. Or the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this in his khutbah. Or I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advising someone. But in this particular narration, Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala says, حَفِظْتُ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ. This is something that I have learned from the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, meaning that this is advice that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم gave to Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala particularly. And there are other narrations as well. For example, Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala also says that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم taught me particularly a dua of the Qunut of the Witr, that we recite in our witr, Allahumma ahdini fi man hadayt. Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me this dua, which is also another evidence that the parents and the grandparents, they should be teaching their children the duas, the supplications, and the good akhlaq and also mannerism from very young age, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did to Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala. So what he learned from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, دَعْ مَا يَرِيبُكَ إِلَى مَا لَا يَرِيبُكَ. Leave something that cause a doubt in your mind, in your heart, to what is not doubtful. Meaning, if you have something before you, but your heart is not in it, and you do not feel content and fully satisfied with it, leave it. And this is a general principle when it comes to the matters of halal and haram. As you must have heard the famous hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, "Al halal bayyin wal haram bayyin." He said, "Halal is clear, and haram is also clear. What is lawful and what is unlawful, both are clear. وَبَيْنَهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ." And in between, there are many doubtful matters. Halal is clear, haram is clear. In between, you have many matters that are doubtful. So for halal, it is clear that we can consume it, we can take it. And haram, we have to avoid it, we have to refrain from it. But what about the doubtful matters? What is the solution? Did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam say yes because it is doubtful so you can take it? No, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said it is better to avoid doubtful matters. Man ittaqa ash-shubuhat faqad istabra li dinihi wa 'irdi. Whoever stays away from doubtful matters, he has protected his religion, his iman, his belief, as well as his honor, his dignity. As soon as you fall into the doubtful matters, they can lead you towards the haram. That is why in order to stay away from haram, the very first step is that you stay away from doubtful matters. When it comes to business transactions, when it comes to uttering a statement, when it comes to dealing with people, or anything, even when it comes to an act of worship, something that you are not fully aware, or you do not know whether it is permissible or impermissible. If you have a doubt, then leave it. Leave it. So in this way, you can protect your religion, your iman, your belief, and your dignity and your honor as well. That is why he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ طُمَأْنِينَ. Because truthfulness is something that has no doubt in it. And truthfulness is a peace of mind. وَالْكَذِبَ رِيبَ. And on the other hand, the falsehood and lying is doubt. Meaning that sometime you may say something that you are not sure about. Okay, he sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised us to even stay away from that kind of statement. Before you utter anything, make sure that it is truth and it is 100% truth and there is no doubt in it. So you have peace of mind that whatever you have said or whatever you are going to say, it is 100% truth and there is no any lie or any falsehood in it. As soon as you have doubt in your mind, then stay away, because doubtful matters can lead towards lying and falsehood. So this was the advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and he remembered this and he narrated to his students and he said, this is what I learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Next hadith is the hadith of Abu Sufyan, Sakhr bin Harb, in a long hadith that is reported by Imam al-Bukhari and Imam Muslim rahimahumullah, in the story of Heraclius, a king of that time, that Abu Sufyan came to visit him. And this was when some of the companions ridwanullahi alayhim ajma'in, they were given permission by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to leave Makkah al-Mukarramah. This was when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote letters to various kings, and he sent a letter to Hiraql as well. And it came to the knowledge of Hiraql that within his region there were people from Arabia, and one of them was Abu Sufyan, who was not a Muslim that time. He called him in his palace, and then he asked him certain questions, particularly with regards to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A long hadith that is reported by Imam al-Bukhari, Imam Muslim, rahimahumullah. And part of the hadith is that Hiraql asked him about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, "You tell me, ماذا يأمركم? What that Prophet instructs you? What does he advise you?" Abu Sufyan said, "يقول اعبدوا الله وحده ولا تشركوا به شيئا." Abu Sufyan, although he is not a believer, he is not a Muslim yet, he says, "Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he advises us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and he says, لا تشركوا به شيئا, do not associate anything as a partners to Allah Dhul Jalal al-Ikram. And he also says, وَاتْرُكُوا مَا يَقُولُ آبَاؤُكُمْ, leave what your forefathers say. And this is one of the very important advice that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave to the people of Mecca, to non-Muslims as well as to Muslims. وَاتْرُكُوا مَا يَقُولُ آبَاؤُكُمْ, leave what your forefathers have said. And obviously this refers to their statements or their actions that contradict with the religion of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram. If you have seen your forefathers practicing something or doing something that, or and anything that is contrary to the religion of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram, then you must not follow them in that particular way or in that particular matter. Rather, leave them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has criticized the disbelievers because of this, that when even the previous prophets and messengers of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram, when they used to invite their nations, their people to the Tawheed of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram, they used to get the reply from their people, بَلْ وَجَدْنَا عَلَيْهِ آبَاءَنَا, O Messenger, O Prophet, you are calling us to the Tawheed of Allah, to worship Allah alone, but what about our forefathers? We believe that our forefathers, they were correct. So how can we say, we do not have courage to say that our forefathers have been doing something wrong? And this is something, unfortunately, nowadays we find amongst the Muslims, that if your forefathers have been doing something wrong, that has no evidence from the Quran or from the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Many of us, we know that our forefathers, if they have been doing or practicing some innovations or bid'at, then take this advice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Utruku ma yaqulu aba'ukum, leave, abandon what your forefathers have said or whatever they have been doing, because it has no evidence. One day, one of the speakers was saying that he mentioned one of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his lecture. Someone from the elders, he got very upset. He said, "How come you are saying this? I am 70 years old and I never heard this hadith." So the speaker's reply was, "Yes, if you did not hear this hadith in the past 70 years, now you have been informed about this hadith, you should accept it. This is not evidence that because I did not hear this hadith in the past 70 years, it does not mean that it is not hadith. Hadith is the hadith. Can anyone claim? Even the scholars of hadith do not claim that they know every single hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So for an ordinary person to say, I never heard this, and just because of this, they reject, this is not correct. So Abu Sufyan said, this is what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam advises us, وَتْرُكُوا مَا يَقُولُ آبَاؤُكُمْ. And he also said, وَيَأْمُرُنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he also advises us to establish the prayer, was sidq, And he also advises us to hold on to truthfulness, wal-afaf, and also modesty and chastity, wasila, and to have good relationship with our relatives. So these are the advices of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even the non-Muslims and even disbelievers knew that this is the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Next hadith is the hadith of Sahl bin Hunayf radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, one of those companions who took part in the battle of Badr, a Badri companion. He says, أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, من سأل الله تعالى الشهادة بصدق بلغه الله منازل الشهداء وإن مات على فراشه رواه مسلم. He صلى الله عليه وسلم said, whoever asked Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram for martyrdom, to be killed in his way, in the way of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram, to be martyred, whoever asked Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram for shahada in his way, bi sidq, but the condition is that he is truthful when he makes dua to Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram. It is easy to say that we ask Allah, I ask Allah that Allah grants me shahada in his way, but you must be truthful. And if you do so, if you ask Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram, if you beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the shahada in his way, with truthfulness, بَلَّغَهُ اللَّهُ مَنَازِلَ الشُّهَدَى وَإِنْ مَاتَ عَلَى فِرَاشِ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises such person to the levels of the martyrs, even if the person dies on his bed. Even if he dies a natural death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise his ranks and he will count him amongst the shuhada. Why? Just because of his truthfulness in his dua. And the martyrdom or shahada is the best kind of death. This is something that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to desire for. And he used to say, I لوددت أن أقتل في سبيل الله ثم أحيا ثم أقتل ثم أحيا ثم أقتل ثم أحيا ثم أقتل. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person passes away, no one desires to come back to this dunya except the person who is martyred in the way of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram, defending the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fighting in the way of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram. And when such person is killed in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he desires to come back to this dunya. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, Wallahi, I wish that I am killed in the way of Allah, then I'm given life again, and then I'm killed again, then I'm given life again, and then I'm killed again. Because of the karama and the respect that the angels give you at the time of your martyrdom. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the martyred, the shaheed, he desires to come back into this dunya and then experience that death again and again and again. Khalid bin Walid radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he fought in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he took part in more than 80 battles. But he was never martyred. Rather, he radiyallahu ta'ala anhu died in his natural death. But on the other hand, it does not mean that he was not truthful. He was. But, you know, it is reported in another narration that when he was about to die, he was crying. And one of the companions who were present there, they mentioned this hadith to him, that you do not need to worry because you were truthful in your actions and you tried your best and you made efforts and you fought in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But remember this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyiduna Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to make a unique dua. He used to say, Allahumma arzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik waj'al mawti fi baladi nabiyyik. O Allah, grant me shahada, martyrdom in your way, and allow me to die in Medina. The companions say, or the people who are around him, they say that we used to ask ourselves, how is it possible that he is going to be killed in Medina? He's asking on one hand, part of the dua is, oh Allah, grant me shahada in your way. And on the same time, within the same dua, he's saying, oh Allah, allow me to die in Medina. Medina is an Islamic state. Is it, you know, peaceful? There is no any war, any more battle in Medina. So how is it possible? But because he was truthful in his dua. Because he was truthful in his dua. When he was making dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did allow him to be martyred, not only in Medina, rather in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was stabbed when he was leading Salatul Fajr. He was reciting the Quran. Because he was truthful in his statement, Allah dhul jalal ikram accepted his dua and allowed him to be martyred and to have his death within Medina al-Munawwara. Because dying in Medina al-Munawwara itself is one of the virtuous deeds. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any Muslim who dies in Medina al-Munawwara, I will intercede on his behalf on the day of judgment. مَمَاتَ بِالْمَدِينَ أَكُونُ لَهُ شَفِيعًا يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. Whoever dies in Medina al-Munawwara, I will intercede on his behalf on the day of judgment. That is why the companions, Ridwanullahi al-Majma'in, they had the desire to die in Medina al-Munawwara. So the point here in this hadith is that even when we make dua to Allah dhul jalal ikram, we must be truthful. And it also means that when we make dua to Allah dhul jalal ikram, we must have yaqeen and certainty. Making dua to Allah dhul jalal ikram with double mind and thinking you are raising your hands, you're asking Allah, and shaitan is whispering in your mind, you know, I don't know whether Allah is going to accept my dua. This kind of dua is never accepted. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ud'u Allah wa antum muqinuna bil ijaba. Make dua to Allah while you have certainty and yaqeen that Allah will definitely answer your dua. And this is one of the greatest lessons that we learn from the lives of the prophets, such as Zakariya alayhi salatu wasalam. He continued making dua to Allah dhul jalal ikram throughout his life, to the point that he was very old, but he never ever gave up making dua to Allah dhul jalal ikram. He started making dua and he never gave up, even to the point that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says right at the beginning of Surah Maryam, that he said, Rabbi inni wahana al-azmu minni washta'ala al-ra'su shayba wa lam akun bi du'aika rabbi shaqiyya. Oh my Lord, my bones have turned weak and my hair have turned gray, but I'm still making dua to you. I'm still making dua to you, Allah, grant me child. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the glad tidings of having a child, he himself was surprised. He himself was shocked. And then he started questioning, how is it possible? أَنَّا يَكُونُ لِي غُلَامُ وَقَدْ بَلَغَنِيَ الْكِبَرُ وَمْرَأَتِي عَاقِرٌ. How can I have a child in this old age? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and the angels who gave him the glad tidings, they said, كَذَلِكَ اللَّهُ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does whatever he wills. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, as some of the historians have reported, that he was nearly 80 or 90 years old when he was making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have a child. Even in that old age, he never gave up. But unfortunately for us, we make dua for a certain matter for a few weeks, and when shaitan whispers in our mind that our dua is not being answered, we give up and we don't make dua anymore. continue making dua and leave the outcome with Allah Dhul Jalal Wikram. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers your dua the way you want, then thank Allah Dhul Jalal Wikram. And if you do not get what you have been asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for, again thank Allah Dhul Jalal Wikram, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there are three ways of the dua to be accepted. The first one is that you are given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what you have asked Him, Dhul Jalal wal Ikram. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have very good job, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers your dua. Immediate answer in this dunya. The second type of answering the dua is that Allah Dhul Jalal wal Ikram does not give you what you have asked for, rather, because of your dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes a hardship and greater calamity from your way. You make dua to Allah Dhul Jalal wal Ikram, Allah grant me a pious child, and you have been making dua for a number of years. For example, you are driving on a motorway, you have a car accident. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. And the accident is so severe, the car has been crashed completely. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected you. And that point, you may realize that all those du'as that you have been asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have been making to Allah Dhul Jalal wal Ikram for the past 10, 20 years. And because of those du'as, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved your life today. And the third option or third way of your dua to be accepted by Allah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, this is the best way of Allah Dhul Jalal wal Ikram answering your dua. This is the best way. What is the third one? That Allah Dhul Jalal wal Ikram saves your dua for the hereafter. Allah Dhul Jalal wal Ikram saves your duas for the hereafter. So on the day of judgment, when your good deeds are going to be weighed, you will see all these du'as in your record. And then you will wish on that day that if only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have not accepted any of your du'as in the dunya. And this is the best option. So as a believer, our duty is to continue begging Allah Dhul Jalal wal Ikram. And whenever we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must have certainty and yaqeen, and we must be truthful in our dua, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers our dua. The next hadith is the hadith of Sayyiduna Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who says, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ghaza nabiyyun min al-anbiya, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhim, Prophet from the Prophets of Allah Dhul Jalal wal Ikram went out on an expedition, and when he was leaving, he said to his people, لا يتبعني رجل ملك بضع امرأة وهو يريد أن يبني بها ولما يبني بها. He said, no one amongst you should follow me, the one who has newly married and he has not consummated his marriage yet. He should not follow me. He should not come along with me. Because he will not have his complete heart in the battle. وَلَا أَحَدٌ بَنَى بُيُوتًا لَمْ يَرْفَعْ سُقُوفَهَا. And no one who has raised the foundation of his house and he has not completed the roof yet, such person should not follow me. وَلَا أَحَدٌ اِشْتَرَى غَنَمًا أَوْ خَلِفَاتٍ وَهُوَ يَنْتَظِرُ أَوْلَادَهَا. Also, a person who has bought some goats or she camels and he is waiting, and those goats and she camels are expecting, and the person is waiting for the children of those goats and she camels, and such person should also not follow me. And then he says, فَغَزَى فَدَنَا مِنَ الْقَرْيَةِ Salat al-Asr. Then he went out and he fought in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was very close to a particular region, a particular village, or a city to conquer it, and it was the time of Asr prayer. فَقَالَ لِلشَّمْسِ إِنَّكِ مَأْمُورَةٌ وَأَنَا مَأْمُورٌ. He pointed towards the sun and he said, O sun, you are commanded by Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram to run, and I'm also commanded by Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And then he said, Allahumma ahbisha alayna. O Allah, hold this sun, meaning hold him from setting, so that we can continue fighting in your way until we conquer this city or this town. فحبست. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala accepted his dua. حتى فتح الله عليه. Until Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala granted him victory. فجمع الغنائم. And then he gathered all the booty and the spoils of the war. فجاءت النار لتأكلها فلم تطعمها. Then the fire came to eat that booty, that wealth, but it did not actually eat it. And this was, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith, that the booty of the war is something that is permissible and it has been made halal for this ummah. As for the previous nations, it was not halal for them. Allah says in Surah Al-Anfal, فَكُلُوا مِمَّا غَنِمْتُمْ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. Whatever you receive as a booty of the war, it is halal and pure for you. But for the previous nations, it was not permissible for them. It was not halal for them. The way was that after the war, they used to gather the spoils of the war and the booty, and the fire would come and would burn everything. So this particular prophet of Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram, once the war was over, he gathered all the booty and then he was waiting for the fire. The fire did appear, and it is not mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallam whether the fire came from the sky or from the earth, Allahu A'lam. So the fire did appear, but it did not burn anything. What was the reason? The Prophet stood up and he said, Inna fikum ghulula. He said to his people, he said, the fire has not burnt this booty because there is theft. A theft has been done in this booty, meaning something has been stolen from the spoil of the war. فَلْيُبَايِعْنِي مِنْ كُلِّ قَبِيلَةٍ رَجُلٍ. Let one person from each tribe give me bay'ah and pledge on my hands. And then they started giving bay'ah to this prophet. فَلَزِقَتْ يَدُ رَجُلٍ بِيَدِهِ. Then there was an individual, obviously from each tribe there was one individual. And one person, one man's hand got stuck with the hand of the Prophet. He could not move it. And then he said, فِيكُمُ الْغُلُولِ. It is a sign that the theft has been done by someone within your tribe. And then he said, now your whole tribe needs to come one by one and place their hands on my hand and give me pledge. And then what happened? لَزِقَتْ يَدُ رَجُلَيْنِ أَوْ ثَلَاثَ بِيَدِهِ. Then there were two or three individuals within that tribe. When they put their hand on the hand of the Prophet, the hand got stuck and they could not move it. And then he said, فِيكُمُ الْغُلُولِ. You are the people who have stolen something from this booty. And obviously it was confirmed. And then فَجَاءُوا بِرَأْسٍ مِثْلِ رَأْسِ بَقَرَةٍ مِنَ الذَّهَبِ. They bought something that was as big as the head of a cow, and it was all gold. This much gold they had stolen from the booty. فَوَضَعَهَا. And then they brought it, and the Prophet placed that gold within the booty. فَجَاءَتِ النَّارِ فَأَكَلَتْهَا. Then the fire appeared again, and it burnt the whole booty. فَلَمْ تَحِلَّ الْغَنَائِمُ لِأَحَدٍ قَبْلَنَا. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the booties of the war was not halal for the people before us. ثُمَّ أَحَلَّ اللَّهُ لَنَا الْغَنَائِمْ لَمَّا رَآ ضَعْفَنَا وَعَجْزَنَا فَأَحَلَّهَا لَنَا. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the ghanima and the booty of the war halal for us because of the weakness that He Dhul Jalal Ikram saw in us. So there are a number of lessons that we learn from this hadith. One of them is that fighting in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to protect the religion of Allah dhul jalali kram, this was something that was practiced in the previous nations by the previous prophets. And there is also evidence in this that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over everything. When this prophet of Allah made dua to Allah dhul jalali kram to hold the sun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the sun, and the sun was not setting until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted victory to his prophet. One of the lessons that we learn from this hadith is that the prophets of Allah do not have the knowledge of the unseen. It's a very clear. And unfortunately, this is one of the misconceptions with regards to the prophets and the pious and righteous people we have amongst the Muslims. Some deviant sects within the Muslims, they believe that the pious people, righteous people, the prophets of Allah, they have been given the knowledge of the unseen. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear in the Quran, قُلْ لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْغَيْبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Say to them, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no one has a knowledge of the unseen in the heavens, neither on this earth, except Allah dhul jalali kram. What does this mean? لَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ. Who are in the heavens? Mainly the angels of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear that no one in the heavens as well as on this earth has the knowledge of the unseen except Allah dhul jalali kram. Even the angels, they do not have the knowledge of the unseen. The jinn, they do not have the knowledge of the unseen. The prophets of Allah, no one has been given the knowledge of the unseen. If the prophets would have been given the knowledge of the unseen, then this prophet would not go through this hassle of taking the pledge of the people from each tribe and individuals. He would know that who had stolen that gold from that booty. One of the evidences that we, one of the lessons that we learn from this particular hadith, and this is because of which Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah has quoted hadith in this chapter in the support of the previous hadith. With this prophet of Allah, he made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and while making dua, he was truthful, he was sincere. And when he made this dua to Allah, Allah dhul jalali kram accepted his dua immediately. So this is the lesson that we learn from this particular hadith. And the final hadith of this chapter is the hadith of Abu Khalid Hakim bin Hizam radiyallahu ta'ala an. Hakim bin Hizam briefly is a companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who was born in the haram of the Makkah while his mother was making the tawaf of the house of Allah dhul jalal ikram. Hakim bin Hizam was born there. And this is something that is reported by many historians of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And there is another individual in the history that is known who had born in Kaaba, was Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Although there is no any authentic narration, but particularly the Shias and the Rafida, those who we believe that they falsely claim that they love Ahlul Bayt more than Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, which is not true. We love Ahlul Bayt, the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the household of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and this is part of our iman. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has instructed us. So we highly respect Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu and the rest of Ahlul Bayt, but we do not find any authentic narration that confirms that Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was born in Kaaba. And even if it is true, then being born in Kaaba or within the haram, we do not find any statement or any hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam explaining the virtues of being born in Kaaba. But the Rafida and the Shia particularly, they give Ali radiyallahu ta'ala this title and they say Al-Mawlud or Mawludul Kaaba. Mawludul Kaaba. They call Ali Mawludul Kaaba. But he's not only Ali. If you were to say yes, Ali radiyallahu ta'ala was born in Kaaba, then he's not only Ali. Why do you not mention Hakim bin Hizam radiyallahu ta'ala as well? So Hakim radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, subhanAllah, this is another amazing story about Hakim bin Hizam. Once he was in need of financial help, he came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, obviously he was the most generous. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not ever felt the fear of becoming poor by giving in the way of Allah dhul jalal ikram. But he sincerely advised Hakim. He said, Hakim, my advice to you is that you never ever ask people whenever you need any help. Hakim radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he accepted this advice and he never took any kind of even gift from people to that extent. He said, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then during the time of Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he struggled again financially. And it came to the knowledge of Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala. Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala called him over and he said, O Hakim, we can give you something from Baytul Mal. So we can financially help you. He refused. He said, no. Then during the time of Umar radiyallahu ta'ala, he also offered him. He said, no. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised me, never ever seek assistance, help from the creation of Allah dhul jalali karam. Always turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the attitude of the companion Ridwanullahi al-Ajma'in to the ahadith and the advice and the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Hakim bin Hizam radiyallahu ta'ala, he reports, he says, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Al-bayyani bil-khiyari ma lam yatafarraqa. Two parties in business transactions, when they are discussing their trade, their transaction, both of them, they have Islamically, from Sharia point of view, they have the right to cancel their transaction at any point as long as they are within one sitting or in one majlis. مَا لَمْ يَتَفَرَّقَا وَمَا لَمْ يَفْتَرِقَا. Before they separate. Once they have separated, then obviously Islamically they cannot cancel. Obviously nowadays we have rules. If you have purchased something, then within 28 days you can get refund. It's something different. If a company allows this, it is permissible. But this is a general rule of the Islamic Sharia. Even if there is no written agreement, or even if there is no receipt or any invoice, you have agreed on a trade and you are doing a business transaction, you have agreed within a gathering, within a sitting, say you are both individuals together, you have agreed on something, you are selling something, the other party is purchasing, and then you are within the same sitting and you then start another conversation, but within the same sitting, you have the right to cancel it. Islamically, you still have the right to cancel your transaction. And you can withdraw. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then said, فَإِن صَدَقَا وَبَيَّنَا بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَعِيهِمَا. The main thing is that both parties must be truthful and they must be clear in their transaction. In their trade, in their business transaction, they must be clear. فَإِن صَدَقَا وَبَيَّنَا. If both of them, they are truthful, the buyer and the seller, both of them, the buyer is truthful in his payment, for example. Nowadays, we have a lot of online shopping. So if you are doing online shopping, then you must use correct method of payment. When inserting your card details, you must insert the correct details. So this is the truthfulness in purchasing something. And for the seller must make it clear. The description of the item, if there is any kind of fault, he must make it clear. فَإِن صَدَقَا وَبَيَّنَا. If both parties are truthful and they make everything clear, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, بُورِكَ لَهُمَا فِي بَيْعِهِمَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them barakah and blessings in their transaction. Wa in kadaba wa katama, if both of them or one of them lies, or one of them or both of them tries to hide something, muhiqat barakatu bay'ihima, then the barakah and the blessings of their transaction is destroyed because of their false statement. The reason Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah quoted this hadith in this chapter is that even when you are doing business transactions, you must be truthful. You must be truthful in your actions, in your statements, in everything, in every action that you do. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us tawfiq and ability to remain truthful in our statements, in our actions, so that Allah Dhul Jalal Ikram counts us amongst as-siddiqeen, and He Dhul Jalal Ikram forgives our sins. Innahu sami'un qaribun mujib. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.